and welcome everyone back to your Church of Heavy Metal that is Thunderdome Metal Reviews. I am the Reverend Dangerously. With me, as always, are Tracy Newport, Gabe Cooper, and David Pizzo. Gentlemen, how are we doing on this cold as fuck night?
Enjoying this wintry weather.
It's definitely cold.
I feel like I'm just killing time.
Indeed. Well, we won't not kill too much time, as it is time for us to jump into our heavy metal album for this episode. If you didn't realize that we reviewed heavy metal albums, then I wonder how you got here. But anyway, we are going to do the 16th. That's a lot of damn albums. Studio albums by Megadeth. The Sixth of Dying and the Dead, released on September 2nd of 2022. Runtime of 55 minutes and 10 seconds, released on a Tradecraft Universal, produced by Dave Mustaine and Chris Rakestraw. And this version of Megadeth was Dave Mustaine rhythm and lead guitars, lead vocals, additional bass, Kiko Larreo on lead guitar, backing vocals, and flute on Night Stalkers, Dick from Barium on drums. They did bring in quite a few additional musicians for this. Steve DiGiorgio on bass, Ice-T for guest vocals on Night Stalkers. If you listen to it digitally, there are a couple of bonus tracks. Sammy Hagar is on one of those because it's his song Planet on Fire that they do a cover of, and he's on guest vocals on that. Brandon Ray provided some additional vocals. Eric Idle did the voice and the bell on some of the tracks. Eric Darkon did percussions on the majority of the tracks. Roger Lima also played some keyboards and did some additional effects. Lula Takamura did the voices on Dogs of Chernobyl. Bill Elliott did the voice on Junkie. John Clement did some additional vocals. The Marching Metal Bastards did some voices on Soldier On. And Mayla Karina Antanan did voices on Mission to Mars. So, with all that out of the way, how are we feeling about this album?
I have to read just one paragraph from Dead End Follies. Sure. Sonically, this album is very much in the wheelhouse of any good Megadeth album. What it lacks in originality, it makes up for in straightforward earnestness that it sometimes veers into parody. It is usually never good when a band becomes a parody of themselves, but I believe Dave Mustaine should be excused from this rule, since taking him seriously is usually detrimental to the enjoyment of his music. The more you consider him like a cartoon character, the better his music gets. Especially now that he's elderly.
Wow. Elderly.
That's what it says. This review was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Some of that is really spot on, though. I mean,
no, it's fair. But...
Well, obviously, we recorded the blast for the Megadeth prior to recording this one, but this one's going to hit first. And I got a question, like, how much did listening to that run of five mega albums prior to this one kind of change your perspective coming into this?
So I will answer that first. I picked this album for us to review. And the way that it changed my opinion of this album was it made this album less of an outlier. And that I thought this album was really good and sounded like older Megadeth that I was used to. And then also like the... political leanings, shall we say, of some of these songs and tracks
indeed
were less surprising going back and listening to those others. So you know, because we joked about it in that recording, but like I'd heard this is a return to form album, blah 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 blah. Well, fuck no, it's not. This is the same thing they've been doing for the last what was the year that first one would get, Tracy, like 2004?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, 04 system has failed.
Okay, well, so over the last 18 years. So they've just been releasing, to some degree, solid albums for the last 18 years that have gone completely under my radar.
It's true. This is the longest gap between albums, the 6 years, which is also true of KMFDM. Two of the albums we're doing tonight, if their longest pause. Yeah, I mean, this sounds a bit like those. And I listened to this while listening to those. I don't know, like some weirdo. Actually, no, I started listening to this when we were listening to The World Needs a Hero, and it pissed me off. So I was like, let me listen to something that isn't that. But it's very much, in sort of the arc of those albums, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and it very much, I agree with you guys, it's very much in the arc of that run that we've done over the past month as we've listened to them and what's going to come out with the audience we'll hear. But this is also, in a sense, I've noticed it making a lot of top albums of the year lists, and I'm like, how? Other than it being a Megadeth album?
Yeah,
It's like, especially here, knows like it's is it a, and all granted, all scheme of all things, is it a good album? I'd say it's a good album in a sense, but is it a great album of the year? Like, better than a lot of the stuff we listened to this year? No, it's not.
Well, I think it's better than a lot of stuff we listened to this year.
You're the odd man out here.
That's just like your opinion, man.
Yeah. exactly. It's just my opinion.
I think to answer Tracy's question, so I listened to this album before I did the blast, kind of went through those albums, and I didn't think highly of it sort of going in it the first time. I was just like, okay, this is just all right. It's not really anything special. And having listened to all the other 2000s records, I just have context for it. And I think that I just don't like this as much as some of that other, that stuff that we heard. I don't think it's as good. I mean, this album has some cool songs on it, but otherwise it has, you know, a lot of filler. It's Megadeth grade filler, but it's still filler. You know what I mean? I think you can really talk about it in the context of those albums that came before it in the 2000s. And you do see some parallels.
Agreed. I mean, this is, for me, listening to this album, comparable, at least in terms of like quality, is Endgame, is where I kind of would put it close, like comparable level ones that we've listened to. Like, I think it's, I don't think it's better than the last time they listened to Dystopia either, or Dystopian Dystopia. But it's a solid effort overall. But I mean, it does definitely have the failings of late stage Megadeth, which they have nailed what they're going to do for their end of their career and how they're going to wrap it up, I think. And you're going to get what you get on that end.
Does anybody actually know why it took so long for this album to come out? Because I remember it was actually supposed to come out a lot earlier than it did.
I think it was partially the Ellison thing when he was booted and they had to bring in Steve DiGiorgio, which I don't think it's a downgrade. I think DiGiorgio is an amazing bassist who we've talked about before. He was in Death during Son of Silence that we recorded. So I think it was that. I think it was Pandemic Shenanigans. I read a little bit about that, but I think it was Dave being Dave Mustaine. Firing Chris Adler. I mean, you know, there was a bunch of lineup chaos. I'm sure there are other reasons as well. Usually Tracy's the one who knows.
I do think you're right that a lot of it had to do with the fact that they decided, because of the Ellefson thing, to re-record all the bass parts. So that probably did take some time.
Yeah, indeed.
And that happened in May, and I think it was originally supposed to come out in July, and I don't necessarily know that all that re-recording and remastering necessarily would take 2 months and then cause this to be released in September, but maybe it does, especially if it totally caught them off guard. So then you have to book studio time. He has to learn the songs, play them multiple takes, then get it remixed and all that stuff. So, and to be completely fair to that, and I don't necessarily know that you would have to do that with him just redoing the bass parts, this also continues that trend of Megadeth, like, layering in all a bunch of stuff that isn't necessarily necessary, such as like all the voices that they had come in and like all these like little in track skits and stuff.
Iced tea.
I was gonna say iced tea. I swear if I could say.
I'm sure Iced tea had to put in a day in the studio to get that right.
I went down this rabbit hole of, is he a ranger? He's not. Because Dave Mustaine explaining it, it's like, when I first met him, he told me he was a ranger. I thought it was pretty badass. I mean, I love Ice Tate, but what?
He might have played a ranger in something.
He was in the 25th Infantry in Hawaii. I mean, he was in the army, where he engaged in shenanigans like stealing a carpet, among other things. But
yeah.
But yeah, Dave Mustaine's explanation of these tracks, I'm not sure if it enhanced or...
I mean, the vibe of the album is basically, let's take Holy Wars, The Punishment Due, and make an album out of that song.
Yeah.
Awesome. But you think you'd end up with a better album after that? Sorry, I mean, like, indeed. If that's what they did.
I don't know. That's literally what I think, but that's the vibe I got.
Well, I thought the first half of the album's that, and then the second half sucked. Let's talk about Socialites, and let's talk about this random ass mission traveling to space that goes haywire because of reasons. Okay. Next. Like, it's just like, I'm like, what? The back half just doesn't theme-wise sit, or the back third doesn't quite theme-wise sit the rest of the album.
It could have been made a little shorter. And part of it is, obviously, I had the 14-track version, but...
Well, the two bonus tracks I actually really like, so I don't mind
at all.
Which, that's... there's a Dead Kennedys cover, and like I said, the Sammy Hagar cover. And I really like the cover of Police Truck. It's a little bit schizophrenic considering the first half of the album, I think, deciding to do that.
Sacrifice. Years ago, I went to an after-hours party in Los Angeles. There were some famous musicians there, and one of them was wearing these expensive sunglasses. I don't know how they ended up on the ground, but I remember seeing another guy over and step on them. I remember thinking, that's the one cool. And this guy who had the sunglasses was like the Michael Jordan of guitar players. So obviously the other guy felt threatened or intimidated. Sacrifice was inspired by a song that guy with the sunglasses wrote many years ago. What?
I'm sure that was... something that happened to Dave Mustaine. Somebody stepped on his sunglasses.
I know some guy.
Some guy named Ars Ulrich.
Ars Ulrich. From Norwegian.
Allegedly.
Denmark. Yeah, that.
I think also one other thing that takes this down a couple of notches for me is, like, I have a feeling that Mustaine's voice is much more exposed on this than it needs to be.
Yeah.
And you could just tell it's gone, or, you know, it's gone out, and maybe he could have done more to kind of shore it up, but who knows?
I thought that the music-wise, and partially because they had gone down, I mean, they brought in a lot of people to play keyboards, but he's doing so much of the guitar work that it actually sounded fairly streamlined. His voice is shot, but his voice has kind of always been shot, so I was like, oh, he just sounds older.
Elderly.
I'm like 6 years older than us, maybe. Elderly.
Yeah, I know. He's not that much older than us. That's still like that funny.
I mean, I think he was born like 62.
I don't remember. He was 47 when that first album came out. So I guess he actually is like
1961. 10. He's my parents' age.
So he's
okay, boomer.
Me, but 15 years. But either way, I think that this is one of the cases that it depends, again, you know, the things that took it down some, not to get toward grade, is that it is too long. There is, a Megadeth album should not be 55 minutes.
So what you're saying is there's filler on it?
Yes.
Yeah, in some ways. I mean, I like most of the tracks, but as you said, Megadeth grade filler. It's just it's a principal thing about the length more than anything else. What was the other thing that I was going to say? Just that, like, no, ironically, hearing those other albums and knowing that they had been, like I said, around this quality, kind of made me go, oh, okay, it doesn't stand out as much.
So did you think it was better prior to hearing those, I guess?
Yeah, I was more impressed by it. But like, yeah. I said, it was because I was like, oh, wow. Because, like, I mean, I knew that the last album was pretty good. But then, you know, I hadn't really listened to them since 1999. So hearing something that reminded me of the 90s stuff. And what I was going to say, I think that this depends on kind of where you are, and this is the brand whore thing. What do you think of Megadeth? If you like what Megadeth does, you're going to like this album a little better than somebody who is almost like, oh, okay. Because it's not innovative in any way. But in my opinion, it doesn't have to be.
If you're already, like, in it for Megadeth, and, like, you're not going to have a problem with that, I think that if, however, you're trying to come up with, like, the best album of 2022, and you look at this and you you know, aren't already bought in, you're not going to think it's that great. No. I mean,
I think even being bought in, you're still kind of like, man, unless you're Brandhorn, I don't, it's hard to go, yes, this is the best out in 2022.
I am a huge Brandhorn in general, as you know, and I just, it sounds like terrible. You'll see from my grade. I mean, it's sort of in the zone, maybe in the middle of the things we've done, but I just thought some of the stuff we reviewed was a little bit better than this.
Oh, some of the stuff, definitely so. But I mean, the other stuff that we generally brand whore about, I think this is better than that.
Sure.
I am, indeed. Shall we talk about tracks?
Let's do it.
Let me pull up my list. So I really think that the first half through Junkie is really strong. Psychopathy is okay. Then there are some weak ones. But I think We'll Be Back, which is, I guess, supposed to be the closer, even though I got the two bonus tracks, was pretty good. Killing Time's all right. But Sojourn and Celebutante or whatever, not the best.
Are we going to talk about Night Stalker? we're... Well, go ahead, Tracy.
I actually enjoy Night Stalker, the song itself. The lyrics are a little problematic. But I think it opens and ends well with the sick, the dying, and the dead, with the titular track, and We'll Be Back at the end. I think We'll Be Back is my favorite track on this album, actually. Junkie's okay. Killing Time's good. But, I mean, a lot of that in the middle there is garbage. Or it's forgettable.
I'm not going to be quite that harsh, so ultimately my sentiment is similar. Yeah, I think it opens pretty strong. I think that run through Junkie is pretty good, but it just drags a little bit from psychopathy, through Mission to Mars. Just sort of Soldieron's all right, but I think if they edited just a little bit in that sort of tracks 7 through 12 zone, it would have made this a little bit of a better album. And again, it's my own fault for reading him explaining his own tracks, but some of these, like Dogs of Chernobyl, I'm like, oh shit, what's this going to be about? It's basically about a relationship that ends. And he's like, going on, and I was like, wait, what? Like, he's talking. Anyway, he's been doing this longer than me, and it's obviously better than the album I put out in 2022. But I think a little bit of editing would have made it even stronger.
Yeah, I'd go along with that statement. I agree with Chaser that it opens and closes strong. I mean, say what you want about Night Stalkers, it's one of the good songs in the album. And I also wanted to shout out Life in Hell. I think Sojourn is pretty okay. And I also liked Killing Time. But I think the problem is there's a lot of lackluster like melodies and or lyrical content. It just doesn't feel original in the slightest. Kind of feels like dialing it in, or silly like Mission to Mars, which is just like what?
All right. So Tracy, you said you wanted to talk about Night Stalkers, or was that David? One of you said you wanted to.
We don't have to. we had a, when those of you who listen to the blast, you'll hear we had an extended conversation about his turn from pretty progressive and anti-war to whatever he is now. I mean, this is sort of that trajectory continued. As you said, I would have been, I think, more surprised had we not reviewed those other albums. Like, you know, I talked to Ice-T about him being a Ranger and where was the UN?
Yeah, that's what he asked. He was like, Ice-T, tell me, where was the UN when you were a Ranger?
Yeah. So,
solving those sex crimes in New York when you're a cop.
Precisely.
All right.
Time to grade this. I picked it. I'll go first. A-. I think it's as good as The System Has Failed at United Abominations.
You were a lot more generous than I am. I'm going to give this a B, kind of slide it in between Endgame and The World Needs a Hero.
I'm right where Tracy is. I'll give this a high B. I'll give this an 86.
Bringing up the rear here, this is a B-.
That gives us an average of 86. Would you buy this album, gentlemen?
Probably not. Nah, I don't know. Probably not.
I probably would just because it's a Megadeth album, you know, like, oh, sure. Megadeth album coming out. Gotta get it.
Yeah, I'd buy it.
I think I'd buy the tracks that I like of this. I mean, I think, say what you want about the politics of Night Stalkers, it's a ridiculous riff. It's just killer.
It is.
All right, gentlemen. That brings our six-run episode of Megadeth to a close. And we move on to David's pick and Hyena by KMFDM.
Yep.
We'll see if we're laughing about it after that.
Yes, we'll see.
Maybe. Maybe we're laughing at it from the punishment it causes.
Tune in next time and see. On Thunderdome Metal Reviews.
Bacall.